eat the frog. Taking big, unpopular decisions first, not last. You and I are paid to decide what's right. And sometimes the right thing is very unpopular. We have to get the right thing done. And sometimes that requires us to push through unpopular decisions. Eat the frog. That's exactly what a dear esteemed client of ours, Bram van den Hoek from the Netherlands, said in one of our Lightwolf leadership programs. Eat the frog. Bram has been a superbly engaged, very inquisitive, curious, fantastic Lightwolf participant already in 3 programs over in Amsterdam. And that's what he said, Stefan, eat the frog, meaning taking hard decisions first. Yeah? Second time, I hear the same thing. Eat the frog. Sebastian Pollock, founding partner, Visionaries Club, former CEO, Amorelli, a very successful entrepreneur. I saw him on stage back in April 2023 in St. Gallen, in the START Summit, a wonderful event where you meet not hundreds, but thousands of young tech entrepreneurs with their new ventures. It's so exciting. He gave a really inspiring speech. I don't know his real age. Maybe Sebastian is 37, 38. Very successful entrepreneur. He shared his leadership lessons. What was one of the lessons? Eat the frog. Now, what does that mean? What does it really mean? It means taking big, unpopular decisions first, not last. Just this morning, in an executive leadership coaching session, I experienced the same thing again. We have a 3-hour session. We go deep. The client is excited. The client is satisfied that suddenly he sees the barriers in his own behavior that prevent him from doing what he really wants to do and that prevent his team from achieving what they want to achieve. He suddenly sees it. The root cause of a very decisive team, a digital team that's at the heart of transforming an entire company, of making the company able of surviving more than 10 years. So it's crucial that he wins with his team. But this entire team doesn't really move forward. And he's so frustrated. Huh? He shares it with me. And then question after question, he gets closer to seeing the truth and to seeing the reason. Again, the reason why he with his team is not making the progress they all need is that big, unpopular decisions are not only not made first, they are not made at all. They are postponed time and time again, but nobody takes them because they are unpopular. And that holds up his entire team. Third, own evidence on the importance of this topic. I've had the privilege over the last 12 years of working with more than 10,000 leaders on around 700 projects in more than 160 companies. Leaders like you and me. Some first-time leaders. More and more CEOs. When I then ask into the round, if you were to run and relive your entire career, you could live your career once again, what would you do differently? And the answer is the same every single time. I would make the unpopular decisions earlier. By the way, including unpopular people decisions. And this goes all the way up. Even if I ask my mentor, a great gentleman who has been running a 160,000 people organization for a decade and delivered stunning performance, even asking him, what would you do differently? I get the same response. I would make the unpopular decisions much earlier. That's why the title of this podcast today is chosen the way it is. It also responds to some feedback from more and more of you who start to engage, who start to feed back to us, keep doing it, right? So before we start with the core content, I have a request for you. We have a link. I've linked a feedback survey in the comments. If you could take part and just actively influence the content here, it takes you 2 minutes or less. I would really love you to participate and share your answers on the survey so that we can tailor the content of this Lightwolf podcast even more to your needs. Thanks in advance. And so, welcome to a new episode of the Lightwolf podcast. Today, on one of the most central topics of good leadership, decision making. It took me a long time to learn my own decision making patterns. I then consciously worked on retaining the good decision making habits I had already cultivated, throwing away those bad decision-making habits that I had cultivated as well, and actively chose my decision-making profile. And one of the expectations that other people around you for sure have of you as a leader is that you provide clear direction. This requires decisions, clear decisions, not maybe or maybe not. But yes or no, clear decisions. You in your role, no matter whether you are leading a team or leading a global company, you're making a few particularly big strategic or organizational decisions yourself. But as many decisions as possible in your team, in your country, in your organization, especially all operational decisions, you should delegate to other people, should be made by the people in your organization themselves. Independently, clearly. Why? Because they are empowered, because they are closer to the customer, they are closer to subject matter expertise required to take that very decision. And if you decide as little as possible yourself, and if you empower others to take decisions, you speed up your entire company and you retain talents, because young folks joining your company are no more interested to be told what to do. They want responsibility, they want feedback, they want to take decisions themselves. So do that. So far, so good. And so far, so easy, maybe. Great leadership is fun, guys. It's fun to lead. It's fun to help other people grow, to grow faster than they themselves and further than they themselves ever deemed possible. That's what makes leadership so much fun. Yeah. However, as a manager, you're not only paid to make decisions that give people fun. That would be so nice. You're not paid to always decide what is popular. But you and I are paid to decide what's right. And sometimes the right thing is very unpopular. Let me share a quote here from a very experienced German politician who lived in the last century and shaped German politics and shaped Germany in many ways. I respect him highly. His name is Walter Scheel. Walter Scheel was the fourth president of the Federal Republic of Germany from 1974 to 79. He once said, quote, "Politicians must not decide what is popular, but what is right, and then make the right thing popular," unquote. What a great thought. What a great thought for you and me in our leadership roles, because that's our job. We are paid to decide what's right and to help other people decide what's right, not to decide what's popular. However, that's human nature. Too many leaders, too many times, admit that in fact they have delayed or never taken the unpopular decision. They preferred the popular one, even if it's what was not the right decision. Yeah. So, and I think that applies to you and to me as leaders, to really decide what's right and how to enforce unpopular decisions when they are the right thing to do. Yes, this requires courage. And yes, It requires resilience in the sense of endurance and perseverance, because you will have to sustain some pain when you execute and push through unpopular decisions. You will lose brownie points. You might get attacked. You might get accused, right? But that's what we have to sustain. That's exactly what you and I need, yeah, to get the right thing done. We have to get the right thing done. And sometimes that requires us to push through unpopular decisions. Here is another example from my own experience where I did it quite okay, I think. I took bad decisions. I sometimes did not manage to get the right thing done, I admit. But this time, I think this was quite a complex task, and I managed to help the team do the right thing rather than the popular thing. I was once the European Chief Commercial Officer, member of the board of the European part of the world's second largest beer brewing organization, a great company, a great South African company. I was responsible for the profits in Europe. So the P&L was my KPI, like for the others in the board. And we were responsible for 12,000 people in 22 countries. Now, as it came to my area of functional responsibility in sales, trade marketing, and marketing, I soon found out that we were living in a very decentral, locally driven organization. All countries bought media performance locally and completely independently and wasted a lot of money without realizing it. We had a media budget of about 60 million euros spread across 22 countries. The smallest budget was less than 1 million euros. In our biggest markets, we spent 10 million, but we were still far too small to have any negotiation leverage. So we bought quite expensively. And when I came in after a few months meeting all my European marketing directors, I just asked a question. I asked, ladies and gentlemen, local marketing directors, I have a question. Have you ever considered buying more efficiently, buying the same media performance at lower cost, by working together across countries? Whoa! That was unpopular. I realized very fast. So as soon as that was on the table, there was red flags raised all over the room. Hey, come on, Stefan, you don't know my country yet. You have no idea. Hey, Stefan, this doesn't work because in my country, media landscape is very different. Hey, Stefan, we have never done it this way. And I went like, okay, I got it. And then I'm glad that I already had more than 20 years of business experience. I knew, I sensed what was going on. I think they were scared that I was taking power away, that I was taking resources away, none of which was true. And I just addressed it straight. I said, look, guys, I have zero interest in taking any decisions. And I will not at all reduce your local decision-making power. Full stop. And if the benefit of doing this work, i.e. 60 million euros of media buying in Europe, doing this together, is the saving is less than 1 million euro, we will not even start. This is not worth it. However, I have a question. Would you be okay if you allowed your local media managers to meet one day anywhere in Europe? I don't care. In Istanbul, in Oslo, in Madrid, I don't care. But we meet and I just moderate their conversation. We have them review data-based what the potential of creating synergies by European media buying could be for a company of our size. If they say, Stefan, is less than 1 million, I promise I stop the conversation. However, if they say, hey, Stefan, there might be many more millions, then I would like your support that you back up your local media managers and start a project. Is that okay for everyone? And that was okay for everyone. So we started the project and it took us about 15 months, but the team generated not just a few million. At the end of the project, after 15 months of setting it up, inquiring, doing the right requests, requesting the right performance from the media sellers and doing a negotiation, we ended up saving 15 million, 1-5, out of a 60 million spending pool. still buying exactly the same media performance as before. And that was significant. I think what was I just intuitively did right was to leave the formal decision-making power with the others and to explain why. Why this unpopular collaboration and having to align things was good for them. It saved them 15 million out of 60. It helped their local P&Ls, and it helped us as a company reduce our competitive disadvantage of being so locally driven, which in other areas had competitive advantage as well. So here is a question for you guys. What experience do you have with implementing unpopular decisions? Please write your answer in the Spotify comments. And here, how to implement an unpopular decision. My idea for a three-step plan. Step one, transparent why. A wise Chinese philosopher already 2000 years ago said, quote, if you want performance, you have to offer meaning, unquote. So if you make an unpopular decision and you request others to agree with it or to support its implementation, you should create transparency as to why you are making this decision. Why is this decision right for the company? Why is this decision right for every single one involved? Help people see the why. That will help you as well in the end. Not everyone will agree with you, because some of those people, had they taken the decision individually, would have taken another one. But that's fine. Not everyone else will agree with you, but they will understand why you made the decision you did. This will make it much easier for them to follow, and it's going to be much easier for them to implement your common decision, even if they individually would have decided differently from you. So, tip number one, a transparent why for your unpopular decision. Tip two, involvement and empathy. Turn those affected into participants. Turn those affected into contributors and leaders. Start the conversation. Listen to others. Appreciate their perspective, especially the part of their thinking that is completely different from yours. They have all good rights and reasons to see your proposal differently from you. And maybe the difference they share with you even gives you opportunities. But first and foremost, respect and appreciate their view. Listen to other people's concerns and feedback and show understanding of their perspectives. Make them feel you understand their view. Allow space. Allow space for questions, space for discussions, to create greater emotional connectedness, greater emotional closeness between all of you. Give others the feeling that you do not only hear what they say, but you also feel deeply what they mean. Only then decide, preferably together with them, decide what is right for your company and for each employee. Help them see why the decision is right for them. Give them the feeling that they are being taken along this journey of change together. So tip number two, how to enforce and get support for an unpopular decision, involvement and empathy. And tip number three, determination and support. Once the decision is made, follow through. But at the same time, offer support in the implementation. The decision you've taken, the unpopular decision you've taken, means change. The biggest mistake that so many companies and teams do in change is they just declare it and then think it's done. It is not. Of course you need to declare it. Of course you need the transparent why. Of course you need the involvement and the empathy for people to buy in and to want to follow you. But then you need to manage this change until completion, like any other project. Manage the change until completion. Make sure Your team is given the right resources, the right guidance to manage the change successfully, and actively support the process with regular feedback loops. So that's my tip number three. In summary, three tips how to get support for and how to enforce an unpopular decision. One, transparent why. Two, involvement and empathy. Three, determination and support. And if you also want to find ways to create a culture in your department, in your team, in your country, in your entire company, where you feel the power of these things and you want them in your business, and you want a change, you want a culture in which people take the right decision, even if it is unpopular, then please go into the show notes and book an appointment with me right away. Let's chat a few minutes, let me listen. Maybe I can help you right away with a tip on how you can also help yourselves and others, how to get support and how to enforce unpopular decisions. Thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I look forward to welcoming you again soon. Thanks, take care, and see you soon. Stefan.